Welcome to the Haggie Partners podcast series, Communicate, which explores issues, developments and trends in the communication sector. Each episode focuses on a topic impacting the communications industry, and we discuss the effect it's having and what we can learn from it. In our second episode, we speak to two of our directors, Becky Young and Caroline Klein, about the challenges posed to businesses by a potential return to the office in the coming months, and the role that communicators can play in supporting this transition. I think we can all agree that we are living and working in very strange times at the moment, and although the UK government is starting to relax some of the lockdown restrictions, the advice still remains that those who can should work from home. Where do you think the challenges lie for businesses in a potential return to the office?
We are undoubtedly living in a very bizarre environment, and although the UK government is starting to relax the regulations, the key one that still remains is if you can work from home, you should remain working from home. And what COVID-19 has successfully demonstrated is that while it may not be perfect, the insurance sector can work from home. But when it comes to the accompanying challenges, we've had a look at them and split them into three different areas: the physical, the operational, and the emotional. Now, if we take the physical challenges, businesses need to look at how they operate in terms of footfall. So can you ensure that your employees remain 2 metres apart in the office? Will you need to remove desks? Now, if so, this will reduce the number of people you can have in the office. So which roles really need to return? Interestingly, the Canary Wharf Group has set in motion a number of measures to mitigate these challenges, such as no passing on escalators, having a maximum of 4 people in a lift, having hand sanitizer outside office entrances, and they're also installing additional bike racks. But what businesses need to consider is whether they could implement similar measures. Then in terms of the operational and logistical challenges, I think the key one is really how do your employees travel to the office? Because while the train, bus and underground network is running, the advice is to try and walk or cycle where possible to reduce pressure on services. The advice is also for anyone travelling on public transport to wear a mask. But, you know, what if your employees cannot obtain a mask? You may also have employees that for a myriad of reasons don't want to travel on the tube or be in a confined space. And equally, if you have more employees choosing to cycle or walk, do you have enough shower and bike rack facilities to accommodate this increase? Then there are the emotional and mental health challenges. COVID-19 has already caused a lot of emotional anguish and pressure, and companies need to be really clear in communicating any changes to how they're going to work going forwards and give people a safe and open environment to feedback on proposals. There should be fair warning before any office opens and no obligation to return as and when you set a date. They may have dependents to care for, they themselves may be in a high risk group, or they just might not feel comfortable in an office environment. Yet, on the other hand, companies have got to balance those concerns with those of employees who, after 9 or 10 weeks or so of lockdown, are desperate to return to the office. They might live alone, or you know, they might live in a small flat with a lot of other people. They might have been managing childcare and working, and so want and need the interaction that the office provides. So what's really crucial is understanding the mood and tone of your own organisation. There is no one right answer here, so you need to find out what your employees are concerned about, whether they want to come back to the office, and what, for them, the future of the office and working life resembles.
That's a really interesting way of looking at it. So, with those challenges in mind, what role do you think communications teams can and should play in supporting businesses during this time?
Communications teams are vital right now in ensuring that the messaging is clear, meaningful and informative. It's the comms and marketing teams that understand the company's messaging. They understand what people want to hear from management, and they're the bridge between the decision makers and the rest of the organisation.
I think that communications teams have a vital role to play in that classic question of knowing your audience. Who is your audience? Largely, we're assuming that when you're talking about communicating around a possible return to the office, you're talking to an internal audience. Even within that, though, you have a number of different groups: permanent, temporary staff, contractors, staff who may have been on furlough versus those who haven't. And of course, if you're a larger company, you may be looking at global offices and regional offices. Within all of that, you need to consider an overall consistency of approach while acknowledging that different groups or different offices may require different information.
Along those lines, what approach do you think companies should be taking when devising communication strategies?
In terms of general approach, when you're thinking about devising your communication plan, I think it's important to get the tone set from the leadership. Make sure the leadership approach is absolutely clear, because that will set the tone across everything that you're communicating. As we know, staff will be feeling anxious and unnerved, so it's important to have clarity in what you're saying. Be aware of potential confusion caused by media speculation, even internally from those with personal agendas to push. And it's important to make it clear to the staff that although nothing will obviously happen before government guidelines allow it and safety allows, decisions about what your company does from that point on will be taken by your company. So speculation in the media or from somebody you know in the other broker down the road isn't the point. They need to expect clarity from their leadership communications. And there are some very good and some bad examples out there if you want to have a look for what to do and what not to do. Along with clarity, I think goes consistency. As we've said, there may need to be some differences in the information that you're giving across teams or global and regional offices. And indeed, as government advice changes, there may need to be changes in the information you're giving. But keeping the priorities and the general tone, the general approach clear and consistent is vital. And it's not just clarity and facts. It's important to show empathy and kindness and understanding of the situation that staff find themselves in. As we know, everyone has a different situation that they're in. Everyone has different concerns and fears. You may not be able to address them all personally and individually, but it's important to show understanding. Another thing that has become clear over the past few weeks and months is that staff have really appreciated authenticity and a genuine approach that has come from many business leaders. I think it's somewhat reassured them to see that we're all somehow in the same boat at home. You know, cats jump onto the laps of business leaders just as much as they do to other people. Children interrupt conference calls, doorbells ring. And I think it's good to embrace that, actually, because people appreciate the authenticity. They appreciate the fact that their leaders are having to deal with some of the same issues that they are. And in addition, I think flexibility is important as you consider your approach. It's key to plan. It helps to be prepared. It helps you to feel confident and assured in responding to whatever comes your way. But some of what comes your way, you won't have planned for. That's just inevitable. You can't scenario plan for everything. So having the confidence to be flexible, to deviate from what you've set out, is really useful. Overall, there are six key points, six key considerations that I think communicators need to bear in mind. As I've mentioned, clarity of purpose from management is critical. It sets everything that you do. Clarity in communicating expectations of staff, plans and approach will help reassure staff and help to ensure that there are no miscommunications going on. Openness to feedback is also really important. It's great to send out surveys. It's great to have the availability of Q&A fora where staff can put in their questions. But the key thing is to reply, to show that you're responding, to show that you're taking that feedback on board and not that those questions or concerns are just going into a black hole. As I've mentioned, empathy towards staff concerns is critical because that helps build engagement with staff and across to the senior management level that you're demonstrating you understand their worries. Planning versus flexibility is that key point. Being well prepared, being well planned, but being confident to deviate from it when it's clear that flexibility is necessary. And finally, consider looking to the future. It's very hard to do. We're all in a bit of a coronavirus quagmire. It's hard to lift your eyes up and think about the horizon beyond where we are now. But I firmly believe, happily, that things will change and that things will go back to perhaps something more approaching what we used to consider normal. It will be really helpful at that point to learn the lessons from what we've been doing now. So I would say even now, start making notes, start thinking about what are the lessons that you're learning from this situation? What's worked well? What hasn't? How have leaders engaged in a way that they haven't before? What communications channels have worked well? What haven't? Take those lessons that you're learning now and build on them to improve your communications in the future.
Another topic that's been widely discussed lately is what life will look like when all of this is a thing of the past. Do you think that there will be a long-term impact on how we work post-COVID-19?
I think that's a really good question. And without wanting to speculate too much, I think it's fair to say that businesses can't go back from this. What has been proven is that people can successfully work from home. Personally, I think there will be a greater demand from employees to work from home. I've spoken to clients and friends about this issue recently, and a couple have been completing company surveys. And one of the questions that seems to keep coming up, and quite rightly, is whether employees think they need to be in the office 5 days a week. And the resounding answer seems to be no. So I think we'll start to see more people working 1 or 2 days at home and then 3 days in the office. Because I think what's missing at the moment is the collegiate atmosphere and being able to learn from and talk to colleagues face to face. That's why we all like going to the office. And that's what we're missing. So I think people will want both to achieve more of a work-life balance. And from that, I am very interested to see what impact this has on retaining and attracting talent, in particular women, into the insurance industry. I wonder if now there's going to be, or I hope there is, greater flexibility around the way we work, and this could encourage more women to stay and join the insurance industry, which I think would be a real positive.
Thank you very much to Caroline and Becky for joining us.
Thank you, Elise. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much.
This has been a really interesting and insightful discussion on a very pertinent topic. If you'd like to speak with us about your communication strategy and planning, please feel free to get in touch at hello@haggie.co.uk.